How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. I'm also a certified genetic counselor practicing in the prenatal space. On this show, we explore genetics impact on our health through conversations with leaders in genetics. On this episode, I have two guests joining me to learn about Prader-Willi syndrome. Rachel Pasteloff is a mom of two who lives in Southern California. She's active on Instagram, teaching card-hold facts of living with a child with a rare disease. And she's passionate about advocating for her son, Blaze, with Prader-Willi syndrome and the entire family's well-being. Crystal Davis oversees the execution of clinical operations of a phase 2 clinical trial in Prader-Willi syndrome at Harmony Biosciences. She enjoys working in clinical research, knowing her work may make a difference in someone's life. Want to chat with genetic counselors? You should attend the virtual open house at Sarah Lawrence College. In this event, you can learn what it's like to be a genetic counselor, and you'll have the opportunity to ask questions live. You can also hear insight about the genetic counseling master's degree program at Sarah Lawrence College. It's the largest program in the world, which means there are so many alumni to connect with, including myself. I graduated from the program last year, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. The open house is on December 7th. Go to slc.edu/DNA today or use the links in the show note to sign up for the free genetic counseling open house. See you there. Understanding how our DNA contributes to disease risk is no longer science fiction. Polygenic risk scores add up the effects of thousands or even millions of genetic variants spread across the genome. We can use polygenic risk scores to assess how a person's DNA influences their risk of common diseases. Alelica has created a secure and trusted platform for polygenic risk score analysis and reporting. Health systems, clinical laboratories, and research institutions can be equipped with Alelica's cutting-edge tools to deploy polygenic risk scores to identify more people at high risk to reduce the impact of common diseases. Interested in learning more? Visit alelica.com. Alelica, empowering the next generation of clinical genomics. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on the show. I'm really excited just to hear your perspective on Prader-Willi syndrome and taking time out of your life to come on the show. I appreciate it.
No worries.
So I thought we could start out with just kind of your general experience with Prader-Willi syndrome and introducing the audience to your son, Blaze, and just telling us a little bit about him.
So my general experience with Prader-Willi syndrome, and by the way, people say both ways, Prader and Prader. I'm very upfront and honest. It's been a very difficult road. It is a very difficult road. It is a very difficult diagnosis. But it also is a very beautiful diagnosis. And there are a lot of challenges because it is one of those experiences where you have a child that not only has a cognitive disability, but they also have a physical disability, but they also have a life-threatening component to it. So it is very much all-encompassing and can be overwhelming. The beauty is that with this particular condition, PWS is a spectrum. So like many of us, we experience varying degrees of all the different aspects of it. And in different areas and points in their life, things sometimes come, sometimes go. So sometimes you'll experience a time that's very, very difficult. And sometimes you'll experience a time that's really beautiful. My son, Blaze, will be 15 in January. And we have actually been having a really great time together lately. The pandemic has been very hard for a lot of these kids. But coming out of it, he's become a teenager. It's a really fun time. Still challenging, but a really fun time. That being said, when you are a Prader-Willi parent, you are a vigilant supreme human. So it's been a challenge. It's definitely been a challenge.
And when did Prader-Willi syndrome first come on your radar? When did you notice something was a little bit different with Blaze that started that diagnostic odyssey of finding out what was different?
So Blaise was born just outside of Atlanta, and Atlanta has, Trella is the number four children's pediatric hospital. They are amazing. We were just south of Atlanta, though. We have a large Prader-Willi community in Georgia. And he was born and was taken to the NICU immediately. He had hypotonia, low muscle tone. His testicles were undescended, which is standard for boys born with Prader-Willi syndrome. And he just, you know, he was ragdoll, floppy baby. So they put him in the NICU. But he continued to improve when he was in the NICU, and he went home. We had an astute pediatrician who put us in physical therapy at 6 months old. Although, despite him having a child with Prader-Willi in his practice, Blaise didn't necessarily fit the bill. So it wasn't until Blaise was 18 months old, he started to put on rapid amounts of weight, and they thought, oh, he's just eating too much. Cut back. We did. He lost a little bit, but then it just got out of control, and he looked very much like a child that is on steroids for a medical treatment. So during that time, that whole year, we went to lots and lots and lots of doctors. During that time, somebody else in my ex-husband's family had said something about it. But they said, no, no, we've done genetic testing. He's fine. And we encountered a really beautiful cardiologist who said, I don't think he has it, but you didn't have the right test. Mm. And I knew right then. I knew right at that moment. We went to a rheumatologist the next day. We forced him to give us the test, and it was the longest 3 weeks of my life. And then the call came, and I knew what it was going to be. So he, you know, indeed he did have it.
And do you remember from the genetic testing of what the difference is for him, of like what that diagnosis was, or just it was like, okay, you heard Prader-Willi syndrome, and we're like, okay, that's our answer, and that's, you know, the community that you were starting to find at that point?
Well, I'm a kind of a medical nerd. So for me, I was like, I mean, obviously, it was devastating because I had been researching it prior, you know, 15 years, even, you know, this long ago, things were not as nice on the internet as they were now. So it was devastating. I, you know, cried for a few days, but then I was like, okay, it's time to get busy. I created a Facebook page. I had 6,000 people on the page in a very rapid amount of time. I was like on a mission to get Blaise and us on Oprah. And, you know, I lived, breathed, eat, and slept Prader-Willi syndrome. I had him in 20 hours a week of therapy. I drove, my whole life was like therapy, doctor's appointments, eating this way. Like, I mean, it was everything. Because all I knew was that like my child could die, and it's my responsibility to help him thrive and stay alive. And so I dove like up the high dive into the dive into the pool as fast as I could. So it was really overwhelming. Thankfully, the Prader-Willi community is the most beautiful community of people. We are definitely family. We are a very tight group of people. And for anybody who has any diagnosis, I really encourage you to reach out to the people that are in your network, because they are the ones that are going to be your lifeline.
I think that's really good advice, and I just have so much admiration for you and other parents and caregivers of rare disease kids, because as you said, I mean, you guys are such fierce advocates because you need to be, but you're stepping it up to really be able to say, okay, I'm an advocate for my kid, and I'm going to make sure, like with the testing, you said, you know, we really push, we need this testing, and just doing that research even before you had results, it sounds like. What would you say is some of the more on the challenges side with Blaise, of challenges maybe on a daily basis or different things that's come up? I know things change over the years, as you said, now he's a teenager, so probably different from when he was a toddler. But what would you say some of those challenges are?
Well, I just want to speak in general terms for just about 1 second, is that a lot of people come to me when someone new is diagnosed, and I remind everybody wholeheartedly that Prader-Willi is a spectrum. It is an absolute spectrum. Find somebody who is about 2 years ahead of you in the journey and stay close to that person. They'll be your guide, okay? Don't look to somebody whose kid is 20 when you have a newborn. They will live completely different lives. As a whole, Blaise falls, you know, very much in the middle of things. And many of the challenges that we face are obviously food related. So, you know, that's first and foremost, is that we are on call 24/7 a day. So when I first moved back to California, I slept on my sofa for 7 months because he was getting up every night and breaking into all the food cabinets to steal everything, despite locks and alarms and everything. Food is not an issue for everybody. So the next biggest thing, and actually is probably bigger for more people, is behavioral challenges. Prader-Willi children and adults are very rigid thinkers. The way that their brains work is very, very different, very significant obsessive compulsive disorders, mood regulation. So you're dealing with like medical issues. And then the you know, behavioral things. Blaze also has autism. And then Blaze has a host of pretty significant medical complications, namely gastrointestinal, which have put his life at risk more than anything else. And I would just say just managing, trying to manage all the pieces, and is difficult. Early intervention is really important. Therapy is really important. It's really hard when you're a mom and or a dad and you have other kids, and you're there's many years where you just think, I don't know if I could do this anymore. I also want to say, if I could step away from Blaze really quickly and say that I think more than anything, this is for anybody who has a rare disease child. It's very easy to, when they get diagnosed, say they're the ones that suffer, it's them. And we all just have to kind of sit back and suck it up. And I made that mistake. And I didn't let anybody else, including myself, say this is hard ever for years. And that was the biggest mistake I could have made. It's a diagnosis for the whole family. And so we need to offer grace to our other children, compassion. It's incredibly difficult being a sibling of a child with a rare disease. Marriages suffer. So compassion and understanding that, yes, your child physically suffers, but this is a diagnosis for the whole family. And it's hard, no matter what condition you have, but especially Prader-Willi syndrome.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And just the impact that it's not just person and their caregiver, their primary caregiver. It's so many people being affected. And as you said, you have another son, and just how that plays a role of, you know, the time that you have to spend helping Blaze with his symptoms and helping to manage, as you said, of, you know, food is a big aspect for him and other behavioral issues, and just, you know, being able to be there for both kids and process that. And it's definitely hard. I know I'm involved with a camp where the last week, it's a camp for kids with serious illnesses, Hole in the Wall Camp, started by Paul Newman. And the last week of the camp actually has siblings come, because all these kids get to come to this camp throughout the year. And then the last week is for siblings. And I, you know, at first I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, why do they do this? And then, you know, I went to the
I've seen it on TV.
This is why we do this. Yeah, just being able to look at that whole family perspective, as you said, it really impacts so many people. And being able to have those conversations and acknowledge that and support each other. And as you said, really reaching out to the community, that you said for Prader-Willi syndrome, that you guys are very connected. And such good advice. I've never heard someone say this, but it really rings true, I think, that looking at someone that's about 2 years older than your child to kind of give you a heads up of, you know, as you said, spectrum disorder, as of most genetic disorders and rare diseases. But, you know, I think that's really great advice. And then, you know, paying it forward of finding someone that's 2 years younger as well.
That was advice that was given to me. And I just want to piggyback one thing that you said very quickly, and that is, offering the compassion to your other siblings, right? Realizing that it affects the whole family and how challenging that is. But we have the default parent in almost, we hear about this a lot in typical families, neurotypical children. But this is a significant problem in our country, that when you have conditions, especially ones like Prader-Willi or children that are medically fragile, often befalls on the mother, but not always, but it befalls one parent. And rare conditions, especially ones that have a medical and a cognitive component, cannot effectively be treated by one person. One person will eventually, their body, you know, they see a lot of sickness, a lot of people that end up hospitalized because we need to take care of ourselves. So having a support system, but if you are married or in a partnership or, you know, you live with your family, it's really important that you know how to ask for help. And if you are in a partnership with the other parent or whatever that family dynamic looks like, this has got to be like a two-man job. Because it's almost impossible to do alone.
Yeah. And is there anything that you would like to leave our audience with before we sign off?
My biggest piece of advice that I give new families when they get in touch with me for whatever reason is that the medical and scientific community in the world is full of amazing people, brilliant people. And I believe wholeheartedly that every year we learn new therapies, new treatments. You know, we just get smarter and wiser and we learn things and new diets. And so if you did have a child born, first of all, don't go into the black hole of Google. Contact PWSA USA right away, and they'll send you a new patient packet or FPWR. Reach out, maybe you know someone, but try to reflect and take some time because your child will live a beautiful life. My son is the happiest child on the planet. He has friends, he experiences joy, he loves school. They will live beautiful lives. And the very last thing on top of that is that when your child is diagnosed, allow yourself to grieve. That is the most important thing. Because if you don't grieve in the beginning and you try to avoid it, you will hit a wall and you will grieve. Just to grieve the child that you thought you had so that you can open the door to love the child that you now have. That is truly the most valuable piece of information for any parent of a rare disorder.
Yeah, allowing that time to process because it's not what you pictured and you're getting your mind around kind of realigning and saying, okay, this is going to be a little bit different. And now we're going to learn about that. Thank you so much, Rachel, for just sharing your family's experience about Blaze and really just sharing all of this advice. I think, you know, you're really striking a chord with people that are listening in the rare disease community, especially in the PWS community. So thank you so much for coming on. Do you know the power of polygenic risk scores? Polygenic risk scores allow healthcare providers to more effectively help patients lower their risk of life-threatening diseases. Alelica has designed cutting-edge tools to reduce the impact of common diseases through genomic medicine. Polygenic risk score analysis and reporting can be conducted through Alelica's secure and trusted platform. Their end-to-end polygenic risk score pipeline can determine a patient's absolute risk of common diseases through a simple file upload of their genotype data. Alelica's polygenic risk score modules for new score discovery and validation perform the work of a team of bioinformaticians. This enables researchers to generate the best performing polygenic risk scores using multiple gold standard algorithms. Publication-ready results can be achieved without months of bioinformatics efforts. Learn more in our upcoming episode with Alelica in January, but if you can't wait, head over to alelica.com. Alelica, empowering the next generation of clinical genomics. Do you work in cytogenetics? Thinking about applying to new jobs? Well, I found a great position for you at UNC Health. In this senior cytogenetic technologist position, you'll join a team of 20 fellow technologists and specialists. The cytogenetics lab at UNC Health performs prenatal, postnatal, and cancer cytogenetic testing on about 5,000 cases every year, and you'll have the opportunity to perform conventional cytogenetics, FISH, and microarray testing. To learn more about this position and submit your application, use the link in our show notes. You can also access the link at dnapodcast.com. Want to become a genetic counselor? Curious to learn more about the field? You should attend the virtual open house at Sarah Lawrence College. In this event, you will learn more about what it's like to be a genetic counselor. You will have the opportunity to ask your questions live. You can also hear insight about the genetic counseling master's degree program at Sarah Lawrence College. I graduated from the program last year, and I'm really looking forward to attending and chatting with you all. The open house is on December 7th, so mark your calendar. Sarah Lawrence College is where genetic counseling was founded in 1969 and was the first program. It remains the largest genetic counseling program in the world. 1 in 5 genetic counselors graduated from the program, which means it has an expansive alumni network, which I love, some of whom you can meet during these open houses. Go to slc.edu/DNA today or use the links in the show notes to sign up for the free genetic counseling open house. Don't forget to mark your calendar for December 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern. I'll see you there. Joining us now is Crystal. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm excited to learn about this clinical study for people with Prader-Willi syndrome. So to start out, what should people know about the study?
Yeah, thanks so much, Kira, for having me. So Harmony is currently conducting a phase 2 clinical study evaluating the safety and efficacy of pitolisant in people with Prader-Willi syndrome. And so the purpose of this research study is to learn about the safety and effectiveness of pitolisant, which I just mentioned. It's an investigational medication being studied for treating some of the symptoms of Prader-Willi syndrome, such as excessive daytime sleepiness. Approximately 60 participants will be enrolled into the study at about 15 different study clinics in the United States. And just so you know, there are two parts to the study. The first part is called a double-blind period, and it means that the participant, study doctor, nor caregiver will know if the participant is taking pitolisant or placebo as the study drug. And so if the participant agrees to be in the study and they're determined to be eligible, then they'll randomly be assigned to the investigational medication, pitolisant, or placebo, sort of like flipping a coin. And the second part of the study is called the long-term safety extension. During the long-term safety extension of the study, every participant will receive pitolisant at a dose that's appropriate for their age, and everyone will know the dose, the participant, the caregiver, and the study doctor. And the long-term safety extension will help the study doctor continue to collect important safety information in people with Prader-Willi.
And what is required from the participants to actually participate in the clinical study?
So participation in the double-blind period requires 5 scheduled visits, and those are over the course of about 4 months. And participation in the long-term safety extension requires visits about every 3 months for the first year and every 6 months after that. And then the study does require that participants agree to go to each of study visits, like I mentioned, and have all study visits performed. They agree to take their assigned study drug, tell the study doctor if there are any changes in their medications, and tell the study doctor about any changes in their health.
And oftentimes for these types of appointments, caregivers are joining with a patient. What should caregivers know about these visits and how to prepare?
Yeah, good question. The caregiver plays an important role in this study, and the caregiver needs to be someone who is close with the participant and reliable. That's usually going to be someone like a parent, a family member, or another responsible adult that knows the participant. And ideally, the caregiver is the same person throughout the study that goes to each visit with the participant. And the caregiver will go to each study visit at the clinic. They will provide information to the study doctor about the participant's symptoms and how well they're functioning. And the caregiver's input will help obtain as much information as possible about the participant and how the participant is doing relative to the symptoms being assessed, such as sleepiness and behavior, things like that.
Yeah, caregivers are really important with this. And usually they are the patient advocates and really making sure that everything is going as planned and giving so much extra information to like the researchers and doctors that you've mentioned. And the clinical study is taking place in the U.S. And you mentioned before there's like about 15 different cities throughout the U.S. What are some of the places that people can go to be a part of the trial, like where the trial is being held?
Sure. Yeah. The study is U.S. only, and we have sites spread out across the United States. So there are actually 3 sites in California, kind of North, Central, and Southern California. We have a site in Aurora, Colorado, Wilmington, Delaware, Gainesville, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Baltimore, Maryland, Cincinnati, Ohio, Nashville, Tennessee, Houston, Texas, actually two in Texas, Houston and San Antonio, Salt Lake City, Utah, Omaha, Nebraska, and then New York City. So, like I said, kind of spread across the U.S. And the nice thing about this is that if you, you know, don't live maybe 20 minutes away from one of these major cities, Harmony will pay for the travel expenses if a participant needs to fly or needs mileage, meals, hotels, that sort of thing will be covered.
And that's fantastic, because that really can be a barrier for a lot of patients of, well, okay, even though these sites are spread throughout the U.S., like, well, how am I going to get there, and just the finances surrounding that? So that's just amazing that this is really just available to people in the Prader-Willi syndrome community. How long is the study projected to last? You know, you've talked about there's like the two major parts of the study, but right now, what do you expect for the study?
Yeah, so for the double-blind period, including screening, that total participation time is about 4 months total. And then after the double blind period is over, participants do have the option to roll over into the long-term safety extension. And that part can last more than a year. So at that point, like I mentioned before, participants will be receiving open label pitolisant at a dose that's appropriate for their age.
And if people are listening and either they have a family member or friend with Prader-Willi syndrome, or they're a healthcare provider and they're like, I know patients that could really benefit from being enrolled in this clinical study, how can those people be learning more about the study and maybe having them enroll and see if they're eligible, as we talked about earlier?
One easy way to learn more about the study and even get connected to the study site is to go to NoRare's study finder, and that's NoRare, KNOWRARE.com, NoRare's study finder. Type in Prader-Willi, and the study information will come up. And then if you fill out a form, NoRare's patient advocates can help navigate potential caregivers or family members to a study site directly. So again, that website is NoRare.com. And another option is to email Harmony directly at clinicaltrials@harmonybiosciences.com or visit clinicaltrials.gov. And Harmony is dedicated to developing and commercializing therapies for people living with rare neurological diseases who have unmet needs.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for sharing this clinical study. And I'm really looking forward to seeing results that we have from this and hopefully really helping people with Prader-Willi syndrome to help with some of these symptoms that are coming up, like the sleepiness you talked about and some of the other symptoms that people experience, just to kind of help people's lives a little bit more and their families. So thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate all the insight.
Yep, sure. Thanks so much, Kira. Thanks for the opportunity.
Are you a cytogenetic technologist? Are you seeking a new opportunity? Want to work with a team of 20 fellow cytogenetic technologists and specialists? Lucky for you, the cytogenetics lab at UNC Health has a position open. The team works closely with providers in hematology oncology, maternal fetal medicine, pediatric genetics, and adult genetics. UNC Health is the largest academic health system in North Carolina. And if you're not familiar with the Chapel Hill, North Carolina area, it's a vibrant college community that borders the Research Triangle Park. With its famed collegiate rivalries, beautiful green spaces, and thriving economies, the region is consistently ranked as one of the best places to live, work, play, and learn. Don't live in North Carolina? There is relocation assistance available. This position offers a choice of $10,000 in tuition loan forgiveness or a $5,000 commitment incentive, in addition to a competitive benefits package. To learn more about the position and submit your application, use the link in our show notes. You can also access the link at dnapodcast.com. Learn more by heading over to dnapodcast.com. You can connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook by searching DNA Today. Any questions for myself, Crystal, or Rachel can be sent into info@dnapodcast.com. And if you have a moment, please, we would really appreciate if you could rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this. This really helps more people find the show and educate more people about genetics. Thanks for listening, and join us next time to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me are all made of DNA.
we're all made of the same chemical DNA.